What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select Q&A time. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Now, we had a bunch of Keith Lee related questions. I'm going to group them all together. Lou Markham says, are Keith Lee being off TV and having trademark issues connected? No. Daniel Cunliffe says, do we see Keith Lee in WWE again? I say yes, in some capacity. Ed says, is there anything you're allowed to say to reassure his fans that he's okay? I know personal stuff is not our business, but he does have concerned fans. Sorry for the stutter there. I'm staying out of his personal business. We also had a chat that said, any chance for some wild speculation about Keith Lee? I know you usually don't, but I'd like to hear some. Nope, I'm staying out of his personal business. He's not cleared. That's about it. If he wants his personal health-related stuff out there, he'll put it out there. That's just, we have the opportunity and the option to cover pretty well what we want on Fightful, and just something we're choosing to stay away from. A man in his podcast says, when are they going to have Extreme Rules? Don't know if they are this year. I'm not sure, but I don't think it's on the schedule so far this year. Anthony says, I wanted to ask you if you've had the chance to watch the China documentary yet. Thought it was well done and emotional after watching it. Do you think they may actually change the name of the Women's Battle Royal to the China Memorial Battle Royal that Sean Waltman suggested, the DX Hall of Fame speech? They should, if they bring it back. I think they should. I have not watched it yet. I'm going to watch it this weekend. There's so much to that story, and it's tragic that it ended the way that it did, because I think she had a lot left in the tank to offer wrestling in a lot of different ways. Lord Zypher says, what do you think the likelihood of a cash-in at SummerSlam is? I feel like if they really want to stack the show, they'd throw one on there at some point. I think it's pretty likely. I think it's probably about a 50-50 possibility. You want a show that people will remember forever. You want a show that will create immediate buzz. You want those things. That way, people know that they cannot miss your show. And if you want to reboot, that's a hell of a way to do it. Michael Bunge says, do you prefer WWE's schedule of one pay-per-view a month, AEW's of four per year, or somewhere in between? I would like somewhere in between. I would like probably 9 or 10 a year, or even 8. And then you have every 4 months or so, big, big TV specials. I think that'd be cool. Punk's Not Dead says, most likely winners of male and female Money in the Bank matches. We get this question every week. It changes every week, too. I do not know like what direction they're going to go with it, but Becky Lynch popping up winning Money in the Bank would make a whole lot of sense. That would be very cool. It'd be a great way to launch something, but I don't know that that's the direction they're going to go. Riddle holding Money in the Bank and causing some frustration with Randy Orton seems like a nice way to go too. I thought Doudrop was going to win it on behalf of Eva Marie. I don't think it's going to happen now. I would like to see them just launch two new characters or two newer characters that haven't been pushed with it. I think Liv Morgan would be a great one as well. David says, do you know the first Raw review Denise did with you? Would like to watch it and see how your on-screen chemistry was and how different it is now. The best duo on YouTube. Yes, that would have been the September 16th, September 19th episode of WWE Raw of 2019. It was mid-month, and it becomes very, like, we do a big intro for her and all that. What you can do is just type in Denise Salcedo Fightful and go to the last page on her author page, and it'll be on there. Frank Gradius says, has any company reached out to Tessa Blanchard about coming in? Well, I'm not Tessa. I don't know. I don't talk to Tessa, so I don't know. Like, maybe there have been some like quiet inquiries. I haven't heard of any interest, but that doesn't mean there isn't any. But I haven't heard of any. Winter says, has WWE purposely kept any talent's pushes on hold until they're back in front of fans? I know that there are some things that they want to hold off on, but or they wanted to hold off on. And I'll talk more about that in the coming weeks as I get some more confirmation. People are starting to open up and talk about some things that were supposed to happen in front of fans. And I know that there are some things that they're holding off for fans, but I don't know about necessarily pushes. I think they're continuing with RK-Bro and a lot of stuff like that. So I think they're putting pieces in place for when fans come back. And that's qualifiers and all that. I don't think they're purposely holding off on a push. Zach says, any word if Mickie James has reached out to various promotions on rumored wrestlers to be a part of the NWA event she'll be producing? I don't know if she's reached out about that, but I know that there are promotions that have interest in bringing her in or using her to some degree. So I'm sure that there have been some discussions in regard to that. Gerard says, have you heard any recent update about Davey Boy Smith being linked to any promotion? Nope, we answered that one last week, but he hasn't wrestled since WrestleMania weekend. I reached out to him. I did not hear back from him. When I speak with Diana, it's not usually about, hey, where's your son going to go wrestle? Anything like that. But I know that he had some interest as well from companies. I just don't know how serious that interest was and if it was something that he was willing to just drop everything that he was doing in order to pursue. Blake says, has there been discussion bringing in unused talent from Raw or SmackDown into the Cruiserweight division, specifically Mustafa Ali? Not like that. I mean, there are people that pitch to go back to NXT all the time. I mean, like, often. There's a ton of people that just that hit up Triple H and they're like, yeah, you know what? I think I want to come back. And it just almost never happens. Jake Schwal says, have you heard any reason why WWE went back from 8 p.m. From their 7 p.m. slot? Jake says, have you heard why WWE went back to their 8 p.m. start time after going to 7 p.m. during the pandemic for pay-per-views? They had actually started the 7 p.m. thing before the pandemic, but it's one of those things that became really noticeable during the pandemic because they also had shorter run times for their shows. So everybody who would get used to WWE pay-per-views ending at like 11, they were starting to end at like 9:30 because in addition to the 7 p.m. start time that was implemented before, the shows were going 2.5 hours, so we would get done with them an hour and a half before. I don't know, but every wrestler that I've spoken to wishes the start time was earlier. Every single one of them. David says, any idea what Vicky's surprise is on AEW? Hopefully another wrestler for that match. I don't know. I do not know. They are getting to the venue, or they're getting in Friday. So, I mean, maybe I'll be able to find out a little bit more then, but I don't know. They're pretty good at hiding stuff. Kobe says, update on Toni Storm. Are there just no plans for her, or what's up? I know she was on NXT's Instagram. She was being considered for a call-up at one point. I just don't know if it's going to happen. Her name was floated, though, but that doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of names floated. Michael Branson says, Sean, have you ever done voiceover work? Serious question. What info did you have on the Diamond Mine prior to Tuesday? Working to shore that up, I had an idea of who it was. I had a very, very good idea that it was Tyler Rust, Roderick Strong, Malcolm Bivens, one person that actually did not end up being on there, and I had no clue that Hideki Suzuki was there, and I had heard some additional names. I'm working to shore a lot of this up because WWE wanted to play it very, very close to the vest. This is a big angle for NXT, and I know that a lot of you will say, well, it's the Cruiserweight title. How big can it be? It's important to them. It's important to people that are putting that story together and NXT itself. And I know that it had been delayed multiple times because once it happened, people are willing to talk to me about what happened, what didn't happen and all that. And somebody told me that it got pushed back a couple times because they wanted it to have a proper spotlight. There was the week that Adam Cole came back, it was penciled in for then, but because he was coming back, I think that they didn't want to overshadow it there or risk overshadowing it. But yeah, I mean, there was a little bit that I knew, but WWE did not want anybody to know. But they did when I asked like 6 weeks ago, I'm like, hey, who's Diamond Mine? And I asked every week. I was just told, well, it's not Tessa Blanchard. That's who it isn't. It's not Parker Boudreaux. So I knew that. And then as the days came closer, it's like I started to get some tips about who was where and who was doing certain rehearsals. And I was like, all right, I think this is it. But even then, 75% of the names that I heard were 75% of the names that debuted were correct in what I had heard. And I didn't know about Hideki, and there were additional names that I had heard of that didn't pop up. So that's why I try not to run anything until I'm completely sure, but you can never be sure until it happens on the air. You can never be that sure. Steven says, outside of WWE releases in April potentially showing up, have you heard of any other surprises being talked about for Impact's Slammiversary? Yes, I have. There are other surprises that will be there. Josh says, with Cross and Reed being on main event and having tryout matches, do you think they'll drop the titles or vacate? And who would they drop them to? They should drop them in Triple Threat or something like that matches. Reed can lose. Cross should not. But I think that Cross should drop it in like a multiple person match. And Reed, they'll probably have him lose to Santos Escobar after he's lost four straight title matches. You know, that's a way to make somebody look like a champion. So that's probably what they'll do. Will Costin says, how likely is it that Daniel Bryan signs with WWE? And James Dixon says, why has Bryan Danielson been so quiet? Any news on something big he might be involved in? No, I don't know what he's going to be involved in. I don't know why he's been quiet. That's his prerogative. But I think it's about 50-50 that he re-signs with WWE. Nonzo says, any idea of Knockouts Division having a separate show on Access? I know Scott D'Amore mentioned it on a previous podcast, and Impact has been highlighting the Knockouts Division as of late on Twitter. They would have to add some names, and they were going to add some names. I mentioned earlier this year that they were going to add three names. Taylor Wilde was one, Rachel Ellering was one, Killer Kelly is the other one, whenever she can come over. I know there are at least two more names that are supposed to come into the company and will not have contracts when they do it. So, and they're pretty good names. They're pretty interesting names, what I've heard. I just can't reveal it yet. Got a bit of an embargo on that information, unfortunately. So, but they are interesting names. They are. Zach says, any news on Finn Balor by SummerSlam? Do you think he'll be on Raw, SmackDown, or maybe a quick NXT UK run with Walter? I think they should set up something this summer with him and Walter, but I think he's going to end up on Raw or SmackDown. Steven says, would Tommy End joining AEW make it unpredictable as to who beats Omega for the AEW title, given everyone thinks it's going to be Hangman? I don't think it's such a slam dunk that it's going to be Hangman anymore. But no, you always got to see how a crowd's going to react. Because I think a lot of people thought that Christian Cage was going to get a big giant push. And we had a question where somebody says, do you think that he's got any regret or frustration as to how he's been booked? And no, I think that Christian knows how he was going to be booked. I think that he was probably had that conversation before time and knew that something was going to happen. Like what's happening now, I should say that. Gannon Barnes says, what's the most likely destination for Cassie Lee and Jessica McKay? I think Impact. Right now. Matt and Caleb says, do the Phoenix Suns win the NBA championship with and without CP3? No, I don't think they win it without CP3. And if you mean like in totality without him on the team this year, no, I think he was the perfect fit for them. He had a great year. He shot the best from the field that he shot since he was 23 years old. He shot the best from three that he has in 5 years. He was almost perfect at the line, like the highest of his career. He played his role perfectly. And most importantly, he stayed healthy. And that doesn't always happen with him. So it's good that he's healthy towards the latter years. And that contract's an albatross. It really is. But you know what? If they win a title, whatever. I'm pulling for him, man. I'm really pulling for him. I'm a Devin Booker guy because he's a Kentucky guy. Aussie says, g'day, Sean. What's happening with Paige? Are they just going to pay her to sit at home, or will they look at her to be a manager type again? Right now, they're paying her to be at home. I haven't heard of any creative plans on her. Any idea who the charging battery on NXT is? I think it's Tegan Knox. I could be wrong, but I think it's her. Xanthiu says, was curious as to what you thought of Mr. Tito. The guy has been around since the mid-90s writing about wrestling. I don't. Reed says, is there a reason why sometimes the nickname for Bret Hart was sometimes just Hitman, and others it was the Hitman? Not that I know of. That's an interesting question. No, I've never heard. I mean, I've obviously heard it, him being referred to as that pretty often. But, yeah, that's a puzzling one to me. Lucas says, any news regarding Thunder Rosa's recent comments regarding her Lights Out match? Everything that she says is close to character. She is a worker. She is a very good worker. I think she knows there's money in her and Britt Baker. Nathan says, have you heard anything about New Japan being in talks with Vice? It would be a lot better than Roku, and it's in double the homes of access. No, I have not heard anything about that. I think it'd be a great home for them, and I have not heard anything about those talks. If MLW is doing good on Vice, I could see them making that move and trying for that. Anakin says, Big Show has been angling for a match at since WrestleMania 32 with Shaq. With Paul White now in AEW and Shaq having had a match there, have there been any talks on finally doing the match? Yes, there's been some discussion. I don't know among who. I just know it's been talked about. I don't know what that necessarily means, but it has been brought up to some people. Zach says, Roosh and Gresham are without opponents for Best in the World. Any ideas or guesses as to who they face? No, not really. I think they might do... I think if they were smart, they'd bring in outside names to face them because you need buzz. And to get buzz, you got to go outside of that roster, I think. But I have not heard any rumors as to who they'll face. And I still got to catch up on Ring of Honor. I'm about 3 weeks behind. I catch up and I watch about 3 hours of it at a time. So if something's happened over the past couple episodes, I'm behind them. JJ says, morning, Sean. 19 years of TNA. Did you watch the very first TNA show in 2002? And favorite memories of yours in general? Have a nice day. In 2002, I was I'm going to watch Monday Night Raw guy, and that's really it. I was in high school. I had some other interests at that moment, and I didn't get the channel. We didn't get the local channel, like UPN or whatever. We didn't have a UPN affiliate, so I didn't watch SmackDown. I read a little bit of online news back then, but I wasn't reading a ton like I had in the years before or the years after. So I probably didn't even know what TNA was until 2003 or 2004 when I moved in with a family member that had DirecTV and I saw it on there and I started to watch it around then. I have since watched it. But my favorite memories in general are the X Division in 2004-2005. And I would go see my girlfriend at the time. And I remember being at it, she had a yard sale going on. And I would run back inside to check out TNA on Fox Sports Network because it was on then. I'd be like, oh man, taking a little bit of break. It's so hot out here. It was like 73. And I was like, you know what? I got to watch this Kid Cash and Dallas match on Fox Sports Network. But watching them grow in general and them being like my promotion that I wanted to watch. And I've got a lot of positive memories about TNA. For 4 or 5 years, it was the show I wanted to watch. Danny says, I remember Tony Khan mentioning he had friends who worked on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. Do you think he's tried to pull any strings to get his wrestlers on the show? I think that if he wanted to, he probably could. But, there might be bigger powers at play there. John Cena's on there, obviously, but he's got movies to promote as well. But it's a universal property, and they know what they're doing. They know that the crossover is there. So maybe it isn't as possible. Tyler says, if you could see any UFC star go into wrestling, who would it be and why? The answer can't be Conor McGregor. It wouldn't be Conor McGregor. It would be Mighty Mouse Johnson, 5'3", one of the greatest fighters of all time, can suplex a normal-sized human and catch him in an arm bar. I think Vince wanted that Mighty Mouse character for so long. He had one right there, him. Now, the promos might not be there, but you don't need a promo. Make him your Taz. The other one is a woman by the name of Megan Anderson. And those of you who don't know who Megan Anderson is, she is about 6 feet tall without shoes. So she's probably 6'1 with shoes. And in wrestling, that's 6'2, 6'3. She just lost to Amanda Nunes in March for the women's featherweight title and left the UFC. So she looks like $1 million. She looks like a model. I mean, she is a model. She is jacked. She's about 31 years old, Australian woman, has good basic fundamentals from her MMA, and I think that she would translate really, really well. I believe Big E's spoken with her about it before, or maybe she's mentioned it to him. I feel like that maybe happened. Sean says, will we ever see Scarlett Bordeaux wrestle in WWE, or will she just be a manager? I think you're going to see her wrestle. Matt says, which NXT group do you think will be the most dominant by the end of 2021? I think there are some limitations with Hit Row in the ring, not with Swerve or Ashanti, but they haven't had Brianna wrestle, and I don't know what Top Dollar ceiling is. So I'm going to say Diamond Mine. I think Legado del Fantasma has played itself out a little bit. Darren says, with Fox and USA complaining about Hell in a Cell matches, do you see the same happening with Money in the Bank? No, I think WWE knows they got to do their Peacock thing with Money in the Bank. Dev says, any word on if the Money in the Bank winner will be able to cash in on either champion or will it be their brand's champion again? As far as I know, it's supposed to be either champion as of right now. That was discussed. I don't think it's been like nailed down. But even if they make a rule one way or another, they can just change it anytime they want. And they discussed doing that the last go around as well. Tanner says, who do you think would be the first perfect feud for Andrade in AEW? Hangman Page. I think that'd be a good one. I think Andrade should beat him. Yeah. That's what I think should happen. That would be a great one. As long as Hangman Page doesn't knock his head off his shoulders. Eric says, how's the WWE draft work behind the scenes? Do writers and producers of each show actually draft superstars through their show, or do they work together to create a scripted draft? Both. I know that Paul Heyman, when he was heading up Raw, like he gave up having Braun Strowman so he could have a lot of the people that were known as the catering crew. I'll eventually do like a full-on feature on that, like I did Inside the Rumble. I'm going to do an Inside the WWE draft in the future. Brian says, any talk of RJ City Wrestling and WWE after working with them on digital shows like The Bump and WrestleMania After Dark? No, none that I've heard of. I don't think he wants to. Alex says, hey, Sean, it was recently revealed that Sinclair is looking to get together funds to start a streaming service. How do you see that affecting ROH? I think they'd be on there. I think that Honor Club would be rolled into it and probably for the same price. Any update on Bobby Fish? I think he's all right. He came back briefly and they just wanted to make sure he was in-ring ready from what I understand. Joe says, it's been months since Thea has been on Twitch. Now this is due to a possible... Is this due to a possible lawsuit or is this something that... set up that a promotion is doing to build hype? Gosh, I don't even want to speculate. She got upset and blocked us because we wrote about the performance center thing. But I don't know why it is, but usually I would imagine that if your prime source of revenue is eliminated, there's probably a reason for that, and I don't think it's a lawsuit. Harry says, do you remember the first news you broke in the wrestling world, and which piece of news do you think was the most important one in your career so far? Yes, the first piece of news that I broke was on Wrestling Inc., Night of Champions, 2014. I had reported that Brock Lesnar was in the ring learning how to take a curb stomp. And there were some of the extras and indie workers there that were giving it to him. That was the first, I think, exclusive that I had in that regard. So that would have been almost 7 years ago. The ones that I think were most important to my career are the Becky Lynch getting her nose broken and being out of Survivor Series. That one was one where people were like, oh, hey, maybe he knows some people. But I think the most important thing that I ever wrote was the Muhammad Hassan long-form feature in early 2016 at Wrestling Inc., which I've republished on Fightful. I reached out to a Twitter account with like 10 followers that had his name, hoping it was him, and it was him. And he's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing an interview with you. And then I talked to Shane Helms and Court Bauer, and I reached out to Sean Devari, who was no longer in contact with Muhammad Hassan, put them in touch. That was very cool. And that helped lead to some appearances for them. But that was big for me because I knew I could do more than what I had been doing. Now, there is nothing wrong with news aggregation. There's nothing wrong with transcription work. I still do that every day of my life. But I knew I could do something different than what I was doing. And I'm glad that I did, because that helped me an awful lot. And I'll never be able to repay Muhammad Hassan for being willing to tell his story to a guy that nobody knew. And that means a whole lot to me. Chris says, can you explain what's going on between IWTV and GCW? Yes, there's a lawsuit ongoing, because when GCW signed their deal with IWTV, it didn't look like they realized that the Masters was going to be a part of that deal, and they are, and IWTV wants the Masters. Dennis says, what are your thoughts on the new season of Ultimate Fighter? I don't care a bit. I don't care a damn bit. I'm so done with it. I'm so over with it. I'm past the idea. I don't want to watch it. It's a waste of time to me. For the last decade, except when Jessamyn Duke was on there, because she lived like 35 minutes from my house. Besides when she was on it, I did not watch anything but the fights for like 10 years before. Rashawn says, on a post-SmackDown review, you mentioned that you weren't sure if Montez Ford injury was a work or if it might have been real. Any updates? I think he had an injury or he had something, but I don't think it was from that. I think he worked through it and they wrote him off. Boris says, any talk on AEW signing some women off the Dark Elevation tapings once Rampage starts? There are some people that are in line for that graphic, from what I understand, or believe that they are in line for that graphic. So I'd be surprised if there weren't. Bryant says, do you think we'll ever see a prominent pro wrestling presence in Alabama? There is. His name is Conrad Thompson. He's one of the most prominent pro wrestling presences there is. If you mean like a regular show appearing there? No, I don't think so. Patrick says, since Ruby Riott looks like she changed her name to Ruby Soho, how likely do you think it is she's going to use the Rancid song as her entrance theme? Outside, you know what? I think it's really possible. I think if, she was on his podcast. She was on Lars's podcast. So yeah, I'd say, I bet it happens. Yeah. Richmond says, biggest flaw in each major wrestling promotion and the UFC. In WWE, nothing matters. Wins and losses don't matter. That's the biggest flaw. In AEW, they rely too much on shenanigans and gang wars, and they have some stuff that exists on its own island a little bit too much. On Impact, a lot of stuff can't get buzz, and they got to get fans back in there to some degree. I know they're already planning on that, but they waited way longer than they needed to have some ambient audio. But for them, I think they need to really maximize the great social media people that they have. In ROH, they're doing better on social media. Make the show look different. Make it look brighter. You're not going to be the underground thing anymore. Everybody knows you're owned by Sinclair. I actually enjoy MLW a lot. But let's say, if I had to point something out, COVID pushed back their plans for a lot of big, big fights, big, big matches. I think they're going to get back on the track of pushing towards those. I mean, I can't really say anything that bad about MLW. It's a cohesive, consistent show. I had to stretch for that, man. Like, I really did. Brian says, any update on Luchasaurus and why he has not been wrestling of late? I've just been told he is sidelined or unavailable. I have not been told specifically as to if he's hurt or what's wrong with him or anything like that. John says, on Tuesday night NXT, it seemed like fans were cheering for Johnny Gargano. I wonder if you could see him becoming a babyface and going back to the Johnny wrestling gimmick. No, I think it'll be like an Edge and Christian at their peak thing where they are so entertaining they get a babyface reaction. Avery Dunn says, can you pitch three ideas for Dark Side Season 4? Yes, Sonny, Wrestling Retribution Project, and Darren Drozdov. Riley says, if you were to have a player from the NFL, NBA, and MLB current or all-time come in and wrestle a match, Who would you choose and who would their opponent be? Zion right now. That's the one that I would probably have come in and do something. I would have him against probably like an Adam Cole. I think that would be the smart idea to do. Yeah, I think that would be the best one. I would have loved Spud Webb because I think he could have done some incredibly athletic things. And you have him against a regular size guy or a pretty good size guy that he jumps over. Well, I think that'd be a lot of fun. With New Japan announcing a resurgence in LA in August, or announcing a resurgence in August, surely we're going to see some of those New Japan stars at Dynamite 2 as well, right? This is asked by Sheila. I would expect so, but AEW has not been big on promoting other people's stuff for whatever reason. So I'm not completely convinced of that. But I also wouldn't be surprised to see some crossover matches. Reese says, if we end up getting some sort of all-in two or a similar super show once the pandemic is cleared, which companies would be involved and what matches would you like to see? That's too much fantasy booking, but I'll tell you what companies will be involved. AEW, New Japan, I think Impact, Ring of Honor, MLW even, and I think a major Mexican promotion, probably AAA with the way things have went. Becky says, time for my monthly Sonya question. The more she gets asked about an in-ring return, the more insistent she's become that she plans to stay in her current role. And she's just trying to work everyone so her return will be a surprise. Now that they've dropped her storyline with Charlotte and the tension with Pierce, it feels like the character is just there. I think she's going to return to wrestling. I think she's doing the smart thing and making it a bigger deal for when she has, for when she's going to pop back up. Christian says, Cena versus Lashley and Brock and Roman, or Cena, Roman, Brock and Lashley? I want Cena, Roman, Brock and Lashley, by far. We've seen the other two. Jeremy asks if I've heard anything on Bo Dallas. Nothing new. He had been around more than what people thought in the final months of his WWE run, but I know that he was making some moves and moving stuff around in like his private business, personal business that I won't go into, but I don't know if he's going to continue to wrestle. I have no idea. Eloquent says, any news on how far away John Silva and Anna Jay are from returning? Anna Jay is supposed to be a long ways away, like maybe 4 to 6 months. John Silver was supposed to be ready already. He's been out 3 months. This is a thing where I was told that they were hoping that he was going to be back by the time Evil Uno had that title shot. It was legit something they wanted to do in AEW. They wanted to give John Silver another TNT title shot, but he wasn't cleared. So I would be under the impression that if they were planning like that, then probably he's going to be good to go soon. I think that's the hope. I Am a Lucha says, I want to ask a semi-personal question and totally understand if you decline to answer. How do you brush off some of the negative rhetoric some former wrestlers and podcast hosts sling your way? Randomly, I'll catch a video where they use the word mark in the most disrespectful way possible and use you as a point of reference. These are the same guys that like to talk about when men were men. I respect you and what you do and wonder how you navigate this toxic world of wrestling infotainment. Thanks for your time, brother. Well, first off, I don't deal with it the best, obviously. Anybody that follows me on social media knows that I could deal with it a lot better. Where I'm from, there are 200 people in my town, so if people don't like you, you had to have done something. On Twitter, all you had to have done is post a tweet like about a wrestler or reported some news or something like that. That's really it. Like there's going to be a lot of people that don't like the job that I do, and I get it, and they don't need to. But I'm real fucking good at it, and it provides for my family, and I try to do it in a respectful and accurate way. That's about all I can do. If they're going to be mad at me over a wrestling opinion, well, that's stupid. That's stupid. I don't care what anybody thinks about wrestling. I might mute you if I think it's completely out of left field and off base, and I'm like, man, don't want to see their tweets anymore. But I'm not going to get upset about it. And people that do get upset about innocent wrestling opinions are real weird. As far as former wrestlers, like the CM Punk thing this week, which we got another question about, so I'll address that. Somebody thought I was being sarcastic about tweeting, thank you for sharing the article. No, I was legitimately thankful that he shared the article. Was it funny? Yes. Was he mad about it? No. But I get how he would think, like, oh, that's not really news. I did a Q&A. However, it is news. It is newsworthy. CM Punk talking about wrestling is newsworthy whether he thinks it is or not. And that's something that I think a lot of people that get into the public eye have a tough time parsing. And being in the public eye is not an easy thing, I'm sure. I can't imagine the shit thrown Steve Austin or CM Punk's way on a daily basis. I can't imagine. For the Punk thing, I didn't really think that much of it. I was just like, oh, cool, he shared the article. Well, that's cool. That'll get us a couple thousand views on that. I mean, there were people that were like, oh, well, it's the most viewed thing. It wasn't even the top five most viewed thing we had that day, not even by a long shot. But it was very, you know, I was very happy that he shared it. If you get mad over wrestling news and you get oddly personal and you attack people personally, that's fucking weird, man. Just, like, move on. Find some real stuff to pretend to be outraged about. There's so much actual bad stuff going on in the world that you could be upset about. I promise being upset over wrestling news is not worth your time. And me being even concerned or like, oh, gee, I wish they wouldn't think that is a waste of my time, I've come to learn. And yeah, I'll probably start doing better about that because at the end of the day, I'm doing my job. I've got a nice deal. I've got great people that I work with. And I know that, like, if I post something and dunk on somebody, it gets more traction. But there are so, like, hundreds more positive interactions that I have on a daily basis that far outweigh any of that, that I wish got as much attention as that stuff. But the positive so far outweighs the negative. There are, like, random times I'll be like, ugh, do I want to do this? Do I want to deal with this? And then I'm like, wait, yeah, I do. Look at these hundreds of awesome comments. Look at these the 100 questions that I got on this Q&A. Yeah, of course I want to do this. We're awesome at this. It's fun. I get to learn stuff about my favorite thing in the world and then relay it to other people that I like. So who gives a shit about the people that don't like me? I know it's a long-winded answer, but you know. Unknown Figure says, what do you think about New Japan? Or what do you think they need to do to regain the interest it had back in the late 2010s or even pre-pandemic? I think putting the belt on Shingo is a good step in that direction, but I don't know how much buzz he'll generate. As long as he keeps being Shingo and keeps on killing it with these matches, I think it'll do really well. They made so many bad decisions and had so many gaffes, and the vacation of the titles and the combination of the title, and Will Ospreay winning it from Ibushi and Evil winning it. When Evil won it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because it's New Japan and they've earned that. Then Ospreay won it, and I was like, he's great, but okay. And then the titles got combined, and I was like, no, why? This is dumb. Then Ospreay had to vacate it, and I'm like, Jesus, man. It was just shot after shot after shot. It felt like they fell on their face more in 1 year, or even 8-9 months, than they had in the years before. TKO Boy says, now that pretty much every major wrestling promotion is going to be touring next month after having live crowds, have you heard anything about Impact starting a tour after Slammiversary, or will they still do a studio taping for the time being? I haven't heard anything about them doing it, but I know that they want to be in a place that has more capacity. Like, I don't even think they thought they were going to be able to get fans, like, in there at that point, at that venue. Like, it's extremely, extremely limited seating there for Impact. And they've gotten so much more buzz now than they did before the pandemic. And before the pandemic, I mean, I was there. I covered them in Lexington. And they weren't doing, like, a ton of live events back then, but they were doing some. Like, they would go to Dayton and Belleville, Michigan and Scranton, like, doing the combined shows. But, I mean, they were in Atlanta and Vegas and Mexico City and New York City. I know they went to Windsor before that. I mean, they were traveling a lot more. Here in my head, they've been stuck in Nashville for so long that I just kind of felt like that's where they had been. But no, now that I think about it, they were traveling. Now, granted, they did a lot of stuff in Windsor. Like, they would do full tapings in Windsor. They would go back and forth. They went to Mexico City. They went to Vegas. Like, they would do, like, the same three or four places repeatedly for a while. They did, I feel like, three or four tapings each in some of those places. Mexico City, Vegas, and Windsor, I know for sure. So, I mean, yeah, that hit a lot of different places. Guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate you. Fightful Select is doing better than it has ever done. I did not think that we would be the number two most subscribed wrestling thing on Patreon. We're a ways off from Conrad and ad-free shows, but as Cal Naughton Jr. once said, ain't nothing wrong with Silver. They're a juggernaut. They got a lot of former WWE, current AEW names there. I'm all right with us doing things the way that we are, and it's really good. Thank you all so much. I couldn't be happier doing this right now. Until next time, we're out.